This Christian Portuguese was marooned on this island all by himself. For 20 years, there's this isolated island in the ocean that he was marooned on, 20 years. And when he was finally rescued, the rescuer saw that he had built three buildings. So the rescuer said, "What are those three buildings?"
Well, to find out what those three buildings were for, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne will be looking at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, sometimes referred to as the Hall of Faith. We'll take a look at some of the great heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 and see if there's any hope for us to ever have that kind of faith. If you're thinking, "No way, not me," well, stay tuned. You just might be surprised. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Heroes of Faith.
Let's take a look at our notes as we talk about what is faith. As we begin this new series that's going to be sort of based out of Hebrews chapter 11, where these men and women who are the elite of God's elite, he handpicks them, categorically lists them in Hebrews chapter 11 and says, "Now learn from these people about faith." In fact, these become mentors to us. But what is faith? I mean, faith is like just this ethereal word that's over in the galaxy and you can't quite grasp it and it's way beyond us. I mean, just like angels have that kind of faith and saints of old, but not us, not us. And then you think, you know, whenever anything goes sideways in your life, people say, "Well, you don't have enough faith. You get sick, not enough faith. You're not healed fast enough, not enough faith." And you know, when I was a new Christian, I thought, how do you get faith? I mean, I want more faith, so how do you get it? You know, you need more faith, Wayne. So I stared in the mirror. Okay, I'm going to get more faith now. Ooh, 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 ooh. You know, you just start concentrating. How do you get more faith? Ooh, is it happening? It's happening, it's happening. Yeah, you push like that, something will be happening, but it won't be faith. I thought, how in the world do you get faith? And then, if there's any measure of self-righteousness inside of you, you'll have a tendency to see and condescend on others. When they've got problems, obviously they don't have faith. Well, that one's going sideways, they don't have faith. That one's sick, not enough faith. And we start to compare ourselves thinking, hey, that person is less advantaged than I am, so therefore I have more faith. I have more economic ability and advantage than they, therefore I've got more faith. They don't have, they're in an accident. Not enough faith, I got faith, they don't have faith. And you start comparing yourself, almost condescending, using this thing called faith, until you get in an accident one day. And then you think, uh-oh. You see, we're so quick to pull the trigger on others until it happens to us. And we think, oh, that's not the way you define faith. As is a fictitious story of one who illustrates how you can pull the trigger a little too quickly. And it's just a fictitious, funny story, but it's a story about this kind of self-righteous priest that's on the bus, and he's kind of priding himself in just his holiness. When this half-inebriated guy gets on the bus, and he's reeking of alcohol, his tie is stained with beer, and he's got lipstick pucker marks all over his head. And he sits down, and when he does, there's this protruding half-full bottle of gin poking out of his pocket. And he just kind of plops himself right next to this priest and opens up the newspaper and just kind of sways and reads it. And this priest is thinking, how dare him sit next to me? Doesn't he see that I'm a priest? I'm a man of the cloth. And he sits, pew, and he stinks. Well, after a couple of minutes, the man puts down his newspaper and he says, "Father, how do you get arthritis?" And he thought, now's the time to let him know. He says, "You want to know how you get arthritis?" The priest said, "You get arthritis by being drunk all the time, immoral, and always drinking when you shouldn't, hanging around wrong people, and having no faith in God. That's how you get arthritis." The man goes, oh, and he keeps reading. And the priest thought, oh, that was so lame for me to have done that. Oh, I feel like a heel. So he says to the guy, "Hey, I'm sorry, I pulled the trigger. I was just way too fast on that. I was reactionary. Please forgive me." "Son," he said, "how long have you had arthritis?" And he said, "Oh, I don't, but here I was reading the Pope does." So you got to be careful you pull the trigger too fast. It might reflect on you. And sometimes we're just too quick to pull the trigger. They don't have enough faith. They don't have enough faith. Because what happens is what takes place when you're sick or you're in an accident, then what? And see, sometimes we are too quick to define faith incorrectly. So the Bible gives us a definition where we can begin, and it's out of Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to, over the next few weeks, talk about these heroes of legendary faith as we learn about how faith is not something out in the galaxy, but it's an everyday trust. Let's read the scripture right at the top of our notes together in Hebrews 11, nice and loudly. Would you go? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, stop there and let's read that again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, would you circle the words hoped for and the words not seen? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that faith is going to be more measured not by what you see, but by what you may not see? Faith is not measured by what I've gained, but maybe what I have not yet gained. Not what I possess, but what I have yet to possess. So maybe it's a little different definition than I thought. All right, let's read it again from the beginning. Go. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So I know that my faith is going to be based on something I've not yet attained. But yet today, I've got to have evidence of that. That which I have not yet seen, I am convinced of. That which I have not yet gained, I am assured by. And I live that, and God calls it faith. I'm starting to get it, God, but I still need help. Well, whether you're learning about faith or anything else, would you write in number one, God knows we need help, so he's going to provide for us three mentors. Would you write that down? We have three mentors in life. Three mentors that we can learn from. The first is, would you write down contemporary mentors? Contemporary mentors. That means people that are contemporaries that live or alive now that you can learn from. Those would be friends, advisors, counselors, peers, people you hang around with. But please remember, because they are going to be mentors and will have input into your life that'll shape the way you think, people, listen, choose your friends and mentors wisely. You know why? Because let's read what Proverbs says. Go. He who walks with wise men will be, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Yeah, if you walk with, in other words, you're going to become like those that you walk with. They will have an influence on you. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So even though you get good morals inculcated or deposited into your life, if you're hanging around with a bad culture, that culture is going to affect you adversely. And we find even in the book of Proverbs, again, it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 24, you can write that down, it says this. It says, don't hang around or don't associate with a man given to anger, lest you learn his ways and it becomes a snare to you. It'll trip you up when you least expect it because you're given to anger and it trips you up. The choices that you make and those who will mentor you will be critical. And that's why when I'm hanging around with some people and I'm noticing that they're kind of leading me in a way that's not the best for my future, for God's best in my life, I'm kind, but I drop them. Because I've got one life to live and I'm committed to seeing God's best come out of it. And so I've got to make sure that the ones that are mentoring me are the ones that'll help me, usher me towards God's best. So the first will be contemporary mentors. Choose them wisely. The second are historical mentors. You'll have historical mentors. Historical mentors are those who are not alive today, who have since died, but they still can teach you through their books, through literary means of communication. For example, I have mentored under people like Abraham Lincoln. He said, "You're not that old." No, I'm not, but I can by reading books where he speaks. People like I have mentored under many missionaries, David Livingstone or Hudson Taylor. I have listened to Martin Luther King Jr. by reading some of his speeches and listening to what he's saying. And I've also, one of my favorite, have mentored under a lady named Mother Teresa, who's no longer alive. But I have listened to the way she has empathy and compassion towards those that are less fortunate. And she has helped me develop a global compassion for those even in third world countries that don't have what we have. And just to think that way a little bit, she expands my heart. So historical mentors, but the best of all, would you write down the next one, are biblical mentors. Biblical mentors. Where God has handpicked the elite of all the ages and have put them in a library. A library? Yeah, a library of books called the Biblios. 66 books of them. Raw, unedited accounts of men and women through which their lives, though 2,000, 4,000 years has passed, they still speak. Even through negative things, they'll teach us, as is the case of Cain and Abel, the first murder in the Bible. Let's read the scripture and see what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 4. Go. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. And though he is dead, he still speaks. Oh, underline those words. Though he's dead, he still speaks. What? Yep. If you will understand that God has given us biblical mentors to teach us, what God is going to say is everything you need to be the husband that you want to be, the wife you want to be, the employer, the life that you want to live, everything will be found here in the Bible. Because these will teach you. How often I have sat with David and listened to his songs, or we call them psalms, and I've listened to him as he speaks about courage and fear and leadership and servanthood. I have walked through the desert with Moses and watched him as he works with grumblers and idiots. And I say, "Moses, how can you do that?" How many times I've sat with Samson and said, "Samson, how can you be so dumb with the women?" I have sat with him and I have gained insight and instruction from these because though dead, they still speak. You know why? Because God put them all in the scriptures for guess who? A historical account? Mm-mm. As mentors or instructors for you and me. Let's read the next scripture and you'll see. Go. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Yeah. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Ah, as we wait patiently for God's promises. What does that mean? You see, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. God will give me a promise. And he'll say, "Wayne, that is your hope. Your hope is this. Your hope is that my best will take place in your life. You've got to make a choice of that." And so here it is. Would you write in number two? You must fill your life with faith and hope. Fill your life with faith, but also hope. What's hope? Hope is this. It's desiring deeply God's best for your future. Would you write that in there in that bullet? It's to desire deeply God's best. You got to make a choice on that. Because not everybody wants God's best for their future. But here it is. My desire is this. I know I've got one life to live. And I want God's best to take place in my marriage. No, not less than. Not a mediocre one. But I've got to keep choosing God's best. I am convinced. I am assured that I want God's best in my life. And you have to make that as a choice. that I want God's best, because not everybody wants that. You see, a lot of times I want my best, and basically God exists to bless me, help me to get what I want and get not God's way, my way. And God, you serve me in those purposes now. Now, that's not what God is existing for. It's not my best. It's what? It's God's best. Because sometimes I think my best is the best way. And the Lord says, no, what have I said? That's the best way. I've got to make a decision once and for all that my hope in life is that God's best will come to pass. And I've committed my life to that. Because sometimes we want my best. And as I said before, the theme song of hell, I think, is, I did it my way. And we want that. Israel wanted that. You see, even though Israel saw the miracles of God, they still didn't want God's way. They wanted their way. And God, you just help us get what we want. And the Lord speaks to them. Listen to Ezekiel here. Let's read it out loud here. Ezekiel 18, go. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? See, Israel, the Israelites, were saying, you know, God's way is not the best. Our way is better. This is hope. Hope is, I'm convinced that God's way is the best. I want the best for my marriage. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm in a dating relationship. I'm going to do it God's way. Why? Because my flesh likes it? No, my flesh hates it. My flesh wants to do it another way. But I am convinced that my best is God's way. And I've got to settle that. And you know, when that happens, you're not ambivalent on it. You're not doubtful about it. Once you settle that once and for all, you will find that there is an assurance that comes into your life. There's a confidence. There's a direction. There is a sense of security. And that's why he says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Oh, have I got there yet? No, but I know it's the best way. So fill your life with hope, which is God's way is best. And I'm going to do it God's way, period. And what is faith? Well, would you write down in the next bullet? And faith is cooperating with God by making choices of faith today. Even though I don't see the outcome yet, I'm going to make choices in that way. I know God's best. I know God's way is best. So I'm going to make choices today that cooperate with that. But what if I don't want to? Because sometimes my hormones want to do something else. And I say to all the hormones, get in line because I'm going to choose. What? Choose to do it God's way. So what is faith? Faith is when I have options and I can choose either way, I'm going to use my choice to go God's way. So I'm cooperating with what God is saying is best. And when though I haven't arrived at the best of life yet, my marriage isn't quite there yet, I know that's the best way. And I'm making choices towards that today. Do I have a benefit of it? Do I arrive yet? No. But you know what? I'm making choices that way. And there is a huge hope in my life and an assurance. Because I know as I'm doing it God's way, this will happen. Is it there yet? Nope. But I know. Yeah, but you're still got a lot of ways to go, a lot of ways to grow. There's a lot of problems. Yep, there's lots of problems. But I know there's an assurance. Because you see, those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Am I there yet? Nope. But I'm going to make decisions or choices of faith today to cooperate with what I know is the best, and that's God's way. And I tell you, there comes a confidence and an assurance in your life, and that's my hope. You will be filled with hope. Because you know the decisions you're making, the choices you're making, are cooperating with God's best. Because you can reject God's purposes. Even if you've been a veteran Christian for a long time, you can still reject God's, choose to go another way. Jonah did that. Samson did that. Pharisees and lawyers did that. Let's read about it here in Luke 7. Go. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purposes for themselves. They what? They rejected God's purposes. They said, my purpose is better, not God's. And so what happened is they missed a hope that gave them hope in this life, hope beyond the grave. They completely forfeited that. But when I know God's best is what I want for my marriage, my family, my future, I'm going to settle that once and for all. Then I don't get flustered by all the temptations because I've settled that. That's how it's going to go. And now I'm making choices to cooperate with that. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So I'm making those choices. And it says, and by this, the men of old gained approval. What? Yeah. See, here's faith. Faith is simply saying, I've got choice, this gift called choice, and I am going to use it for God's best. Even when I don't want to, I'm going to make a choice. Well, then, what about all the problems in life? Does that mean you're not going to have any problems when you're just kind of faith walking towards God? No, you're going to have problems. No, you can have great faith and still have problems. Because God never said, if you have faith, you will be immune from suffering. Never said that. He never said, if you'll be a man or woman of faith, you'll be immune from pain, immune from problems. No, he never said you would, but he said, I will give you the edge. I'll give you the edge that you will have a hope beyond this season of problems. And here's a tip on how to kind of move through problems more quickly. Here it is. In every problem, you're going to have the negative side of the problem. Somebody messed up. Someone is doing something wrong, not good leadership. Somebody's got major problems. I'm recognizing the problems. All right, you've got this side, the negative side of the problem. And then you have the resolution side of the problem where, okay, I've recognized it. Now what are we going to do? How are we going to resolve it, etc. Now here it is. You're going to have both sides of a problem. Listen very carefully. Faith is moving as quickly as you can. Once you recognize the problem, move as quickly as you can to the resolution side of it. You can camp on either side. It's your choice. But can I encourage you to, as soon as you recognize a problem, move to the resolution side of the problem? Because listen, if you stay on this side of the problem, well, this church has problems. That person has problems. There's big problems. Hey, let's go to lunch. Let me tell you the problems this church has. Well, if you stay and camp on this side, no miracles happen here. Only discouragement and depression and more dissension. But as soon as you move to this side, watch, when you're a part of how we're going to, let's see if we can resolve this. Let's get some creativity. Let's improve this. I tell you, this is the side where miracles happen, where deliverance takes place, where there's creativity, where there's innovation, where there's healing, where there's wholeness. It all happens on this side of the equation, not on this side. But we like to camp out on this side because it kind of gives us a power over other people. It's like, we're better than, because I recognize your problem. I've identified your problem. Let me tell you your problem. And we like that. But if you stay too long on this side, you will never see miracles or deliverance or healing or wholeness. Or you'll feel good because you can condescend on everybody. But after a while, the problem will be, it will find its way into you and will camp inside of you. And then the problems are not everybody else. It'll be yours. I heard a funny story about this Christian Portuguese. This Christian Portuguese was marooned on this island all by himself. For 20 years, there's this isolated island in the ocean that he was marooned on, 20 years. And when he was finally rescued, the rescuer saw that he had built 3 buildings. So the rescuer said, what are those 3 buildings? He said, well, the first one here is my house. I've lived in this house for 20 years. Oh, that's good. What's the second building? Oh, he said, that's why it's so hard to leave this island. That's the church I go to. It is such a nice church. Oh, what's the third building? That's the church I left. I don't like them. Okay. And you know, sometimes if we camp on this side, you can't even see the possibility of miracles. Everything is a problem. And we just keep bailing and bailing and bailing and bailing. And really, the problem starts to find itself in, wedges itself in, anchors itself in us. So then everything you see is through a certain filter, a lens, that everybody's got problems. So we recognize people's problems a lot. But I tell you, this is in your marriage and your family and your relationships. Here's a tip of faith. Faith is, as soon as you recognize you got a problem, move as quickly as you can to the resolution side. I guarantee you, you will see the hand of God working in mighty ways.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Heroes of Faith by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.